Okay, let us begin. This week's parsha is Parshas Vayakhel. And the pasuk tells us in Perek Lamed Hey, pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayavo kol ish asher niso libo, every man whose heart inspired him came, v'chol asher nadva rucho oso heviu, es trumas Hashem l'meleches oel moed. And everyone whose spirit, whose rucho, whose spirit motivated him, brought the trumas Hashem, the donation for Hashem, l'meleches oel moed, for the work of the oel moed. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh on this pasuk comes in his perush on Chumash. He comes and he says, perush amro, niso libo v'nedava. This pasuk says, Vayavo kol ish asher niso libo. So comes along the Aruch Chaim and says, let us focus on what the pasuk means when it says the word niso libo, meaning every man whose heart inspired him, and vinidava, and everyone whose spirit motivated him. He writes, Diyesh dad kiyeshte hadragos bamis nadvim. Know that there are two levels of donors. Ha'echad, the first, who ha'misnadev birtzon nafsho kifi yicholto erech mamono. The first level is one who donates wholeheartedly in accordance with what he's capable of doing, whatever his means are financially. V'lozeh yukari nadva rucho. So this type of person is referred to as one whose spirit motivates him. Lishlol she'eno oseh hadavar kamo shar b'nafsho, meaning to say that he makes his donation willingly, as opposed to doing it with a certain heavy heart. V'hasheni, and the second level, hamisnadev yoser miyicholto migodel tivios libo, is one who donates more than he's able to, simply because he has a very open heart. V'lozeh yikare niso libo. This type of person is called whose heart inspires him, which means perusha halev minasehu, which means literally that his heart elevates him. Umaricho be'erech ashir yoser mimashehu loseis davar yaker, and causes him to view himself and equate himself as though he were wealthier than he actually is, so that he gives generously way beyond his means. Okay, it's a little verbose, but the Aruch Chaim is telling us a very interesting chiluk between when the pasuk uses the word asher niso libo versus the word nediv libo. The word niso libo represents someone who is giving way beyond what he's capable of doing. And therefore, when the pasuk comes and tells us, Vayavo kol ish asher niso libo, every man whose heart inspires him, the pasuk is telling us, is teaching us about this person who gives in the most elevated of ways, gives beyond that which he's capable of doing. Rabbi Eli Baruch Finkel comes and asks a very insightful question based on the perush of the Aruch Chaim. He says, when would we ever find in the Midbar a person who's giving more than what he is capable of doing? Meaning the implication of that statement is that this person is struggling. He was given a certain amount of money and he has expenses. He has to pay his rent. He has to pay his tuition. He has to pay for clothing. He has to pay for food. And now he's stretching himself and he's going beyond what he's capable of doing. So asks Rabbi Eli Baruch Finkel, where do we find that a person is stretching himself while living in the Midbar? We know that Hashem took care of all of the needs of the Jewish people were taken care of. Hashem sipei kol tzarkam b'midbar. B'mazon u'b'mashke, he took care of their food, their drink, he took care of their clothing. In Cain, me'at afilu yitin kol asher lo. If a person were to give everything besides the clothing on his skin, adayin hu begeder kifi yicholto, he still would be considered to be a person who's giving within his means. because he didn't need anything. Everything was given to him. The man, the be'er, clothing would expand with people. It wouldn't wear out. So when do we find, or why would the Torah come and classify a person in this higher category of a no-sein, of a giver, and refer to him as Asher Niso Libo, whose heart inspired him, versus a Nediv Libo? There's never a situation in the Midbar, asks Rabbi Eli Baruch, based on the pshat of the Or HaChaim, that a person is giving more than what he is capable of doing. That's our first question tonight. I think it's a very profound, a very beautiful, really a very beautiful question. The Torah tells us in the opening psukim of this week's parsha, so the Torah comes and says, Vayakel Moshe es kol adas b'nei Yisrael. And Moshe came and gathered all of b'nei Yisrael, Vayomer aleim, and said to them, Ela hadvar masher tziva Hashem la'asos osam. These are the things that Hashem commanded to do them. And then it begins to tell us about the mitzvah of Shabbos. Sheshes yomim te'asem melacha. For 6 days, work is allowed to be done. However, vayom hashvi'i, on the seventh day, yihyeh lochem kodesh. It shall be a day of holiness. Shabbat Shabbason LaHashem. It should be a Shabbos for Hashem. Rashi comes and tells us, Higdim Lohem Azhara Shabbos. Moshe first told B'nai Yisrael about the prohibition of Shabbos before the commandment, Kodem, before the commandment of the construction, the Meleches HaMishkan, to teach you She'eno Doches HaShabbos, to say that the work of the Mishkan does not override Shabbos. Meaning, when it came time to building the Mishkan, work suspended. It's Shabbos. So first we have the halacha of Shabbos. Sheishes yamim te'aseh melacha. Lo sivaru eish b'chol moshu asechem b'yom ha-shabbos. And then, kichu mitchem tshuma la'ashem, kol nediv libo. Again, focusing on the meleches ha-mishkan. So it comes along, the Mefarshim, the Alshich specifically, he comes and he asks, why is it that the Meleches HaMishkan, the construction, the work to build the Mishkan is not Doche Shabbos, but the Maisa HaKarban, but the bringing of a Karban, Temidin, Kisidran, Umusafin, Kilchasan, that is Doche Shabbos. Why are we not allowed to build a Mishkan, but we are allowed to bring a Karban? Meleches HaMishkan is not Doche Shabbos, but a Karban, bringing a Karban Tamid, a Musaf, that is Doche Shabbos. So there's an interesting answer that I saw in the name of the Nachal Az Yaakov. He makes a chiluk, he makes a distinction. He says that there is a big difference between the Maisa HaMishkan and the Maisa in the act of bringing a Karban. And that is that a Karban is a Maisa B'nei Adam, is an act of man. V'heim chashuvim etzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol kach. The act of man is so important, is deemed so special by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's Doche Shabbos. Masha'ein Kain, unlike the Meleches HaMishkan, which is a Maisa Hashem. And he gives an example, such as the menorah, that even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to understand the Maisa HaMenorah. So he threw it into the fire, and out came the menorah, as the Pasuk says, Te'aseh HaMenorah, that the menorah happened. Now, it's a beautiful answer, but I don't know if that's necessarily true by all of the Kalim of the Mishkan. After all, there was Bezalel, there was Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, it's true by the menorah. But most, if not all, of the Kalim were indeed done by craftsmen. On the contrary, the Ramban tells us that the craftsmen were given a special siyata d'shmaya. Yes, they were given greater divine inspiration. How would they know how to build and craft all of these kalim for the Mishkan? After all, they came from being slaves in Mitzrayim. It must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them divine inspiration. But nonetheless, it was done by man. So I'm not sure that I accept this answer given by the Nachlas Yaakov. And therefore, tonight, I would like to offer my own answer to reconcile this very profound question as to why is it the Meleches HaMishkan is not Doche Shabbos, meaning I can't be Mechal Shabbos, I can't build a Mishkan on Shabbos. Shabbos suspends the building, and only you can continue after. But when it comes to the Karbanos, Temidin Kisidron, Umusafin Kilchason, a Maisa Karban is not, indeed does push away Shabbos. And that's our second question. And our third and final question is based upon the pasuk of the Nesiim. It's found in this week's Parsha, Perek Lamed Hey, pasuk Chav Zayin. So the Torah tells us that HaNesiim Heviu Es Avnei HaShoam Ves Avnei HaMiluim. That the Nesiim, the princes, brought the Avnei Shoam, the Shoam stones, and the stones that fill the Choshen, Ves Avnei HaMiluim, Lo'efo, Lo'efo, V'lachoshen. So Rashi comes and comments on this pasuk. Now, mind you, Rashi is focusing on the fact that the word Nesiim is written chaser. It's written without a yud. And Rashi is going to comment why exactly it was written chaser a yud. And he's going to explain the episode or the backstory behind the actions of the Nesiim. So comes along Rashi and says, Reb Nosson. Reb Nosson says, Ma ro'o Nesiim lehisnadev b'chanukas hamezbeach batchila. What is it that the Nesiim saw that made them contribute first at the Chanukas HaMizbeach, at the inauguration of the Mizbeach? Ubeleches HaMishkan, but yet when it came to the contribution of the construction of the Mishkan, Lo Hisnavu Batchila, they didn't get first, but they gave last. Elakach Amru Nesiim. This is what the Nesiim, the tribal princes, had said. Yisnavu tzibor mashim isnavdim. Let the tzibor, let the public contribute whatever they will contribute. Umashim echasrim, and what they are lacking. Anu mashlimin oso, we will complete. Kevan shehishlibu tzibor es hakol. Since the tzibor, the community, the public, they completed everything. As it says, v'hamelocha haisa dayam. Amru Nesiim, the Nesiim had come and said, Ma leinu lasos, what is there left for us to do? Heviu es Avnei Shoam, they brought the Avnei Shoam. Lekach, therefore, because they realized that they were delinquent, that they were delayed, and the Pasuk is written chaser to indicate that. The Pasuk takes out a yud to show that you were lacking in your Zahirus, in your awareness, in your dedication to the building of the Mishkan. They realized that they had done something wrong. Now when it came to the Chanukas HaMizbeach, they contributed not last, but they came and contribute first. Ulefishen is aslu metchila. And because they lagged at the outset, nechsera os bishmam, a letter was removed, was deleted from their name, and therefore v'hanesiim ksiv. It says, v'hanesiim minus a yud. So comes along Rav Runiman, he asks a very insightful question based on this Maimre Chazal quoted in the name of Rav Nosson. He says, it seems to be that there's a contradiction within Rashi. After all, Sherashi ba'atzmo bir, the Rashi himself explained that the intent of the Nesiim not to donate first was they thought, Sheim Chashmu Shehat Tzibor, that the Tzibor wasn't able to donate. They wouldn't have enough. They would start the project, like many projects, starts fast initially, but as the project goes, it's waning. It wanes. People don't have enough, and they're going to come and make the difference. And therefore, Shehem Uchan Lenadev, they will be ready to donate Kol Ma Shenitzrach LeMishkan, whatever what was needed for the Mishkan, even if it would be a great amount. Therefore, they said, let the Tzibor come and donate first. And they would come and be mashlim. However, we find that the reason why they didn't give was not because they were lazy, but rather it was because they had a cheshvan, they had a calculation. So yet, on one hand, Rashi says, they gave to the Chanukah's HaMizbeach first, lefi shenis atzlu mitzchila, because they were lazy initially, and therefore they came first by the Chanukah's HaMizbeach. But initially, their thought wasn't because they were being lazy, it was because they realized that the tzibor, the community, wouldn't have enough money. Let him do it first, and we'll contribute whatever is left, even if it meant giving him millions and millions of dollars. So is it because they were lazy, or it was because they had a cheshvan? They actually had a calculation, what would come first. So Rav Ruderman explains, we see from here something very powerful. She'efshar la'odom lehisnaig al pi shikol hadas. The people make cheshbonos, people make calculations. And it could be that when they made that cheshbon, when they made that calculation, their motivation was to let the tzibor, let the community be involved, and they would come and make up the difference. That's what they were saying. However, it's very possible, says Rav Ruderman, that in the recesses of their soul, there was a midah ra that was hidden. That midah ra, that bad character trait, was laziness, was atzlus. So what they were suggesting was that they wanted to come and allow the tzibor to be involved, and they would make up the difference. But that's what they were saying. But maybe what was really motivating that, what was in the very recesses of their being, was not that calculation, but rather it was that they were lazy. So their peh, their mouth was one thing, but their inner machshava, their inner thoughts, were something totally different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bochein levavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the unbelievable ability of understanding what is in the recesses of their being. And therefore, they came and said, we want to give. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's saying, you might have been saying that, but I know what was in your heart. I know that you had a midah ra, you had a terrible character flaw called laziness. And what was really going on is that you just weren't interested. You didn't want to get up and be active. Be active participants in the building of the Mishkan. And you were giving some excuse explaining why it wasn't necessary for you to get involved. But I have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bochein Levavos, the one who is able to distinguish and discern between what his person is saying versus what is in his heart. I know what was really going on. I will remove a os, a letter from your name, because really, what was Tumun Binafsha, what was Tumun in their soul, was the midah of atzlus. Machshava, thought, plays a very powerful role in our connection to Hashem. The difference, I believe, between why the Meleches HaMishkan, the building of the Mishkan, is not Docha Shabbos, but a Maisa Karban is because a Karban is less about a Maisa in act and more about a mindset. You see, the Meleches HaMishkan was only the Maisa. It was the act of building. A person did not need to have any kavana, any intent, when building the Mishkan. It's about taking a hammer and a nail and building. Yes, indeed, the Torah tells us that the donations themselves had to be for the purpose of building the Mishkan. But when a person is actually coming and taking the nail and a hammer and building away at the Mishkan, all it is a maisa. It's an act. And we don't build, we don't do an act that creates on Shabbos. A karbon. A karbon is less about the maisa, the act, and more about the machshava. Lamashal, for example, the Rambam comes and tells us that if a person has a foreign, an alien act, or an alien thought when he's bringing a karbon, it's possible. It's based on Chazal, based on the Gemara. Just quoting a Rambam in Hilchos Karban Pesach. Sha'a Pesach eino nishchat elo l'shem Pesach u'l'shem bailav. When a person shechs the karbon, it has to be l'shem Pesach, for the sake of a Karban Pesach, and for the sake of its owners. V'im shechato b'machsheves shinoi Hashem, and if it's slaughtered with some other thought other than that, meaning not l'shem Pesach or Bailov, pasul. It's a defective karbon. We know that if a person has defective thoughts, pigel. It's less about the maisa, the act. Why is the karbon Pesach pasul? I'm slaughtering it the same way as I would any other time. The answer is that a karbon is about what a person's mindset is, what his thoughts are. Thoughts are not usher on Shabbos. And therefore, the karbon is doche Shabbos. So when it comes to the building of the Mishkan, that's a pa'ula, it's an act. I can't come and construct on Shabbos. But a karbon, which is dependent upon a person's thoughts, that's allowed. For me to come and to have the proper intent that I'm coming and bringing a karbon laHashem, then it's permitted. Machshava, thought, in our religion, is everything. A maisa karbon, I have an alien thought, it's puzzle. The Nisim, they had a thought, it's real. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who understands the thoughts of people. Their thought ultimately took a letter out of their name, wrote their name for eternity, chaser, because of their thoughts. Their words said something, but because their thoughts were alien, their thoughts were krum, they were defective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood what was going on in the hearts of the Nisim. They were punished. And they understood what they did was wrong. And they made sure to come first by the Chanukah's HaMizbeach. A person with krum thoughts, even if the maisa itself, the action itself, seems to be legitimate, but his thoughts, his demeanor is off, it changes everything. And that is how, in the Midbar, there was a distinction between a nediv lev, someone who would donate, a nediv lev, a nedava, versus a nisao libo, one whose heart inspired him. So came along Rav Eli Baruch Finkel and said, when is there ever a person who is giving beyond his means? Everything was provided for him. He was never going beyond his means by donating anything. So I suggest that tzedakah is a mindset. It's not about the money, the maisa, the act of giving. Because if it was just about the act of giving, then if a person gave $1 million, regardless of what his demeanor or his thoughts were, he should be considered a tzaddik. But yet, if you look at the Rambam tells us, "Kol hanosein tzedakah la'ani." If a person gives charity to a poor person, b'sever panim raos, with a sullen face, upanav kivushos bekarka, he's downtrodden. He's sad that he's forced, he's compelled to give. Afilu nason lo elef zehuvim. Even if he gives 1,000 gold pieces, millions of dollars, ibed sechuso, he's lost all of his merit. Ohefsida, he's done. But rather, nosin lo b'sever panim yafo su b'simcha. It has to be done with happiness, with a feeling of excitement. So why should it make a difference how it's done? Who cares? You're giving the money. What difference does it make? Does it make a difference whether I'm thinking I'm excited about doing it or not, or whether my face has a smile or not? The guy's getting what he needs. The answer is that our machshava, our thoughts, dictate the tzedakah. Tzedakah is a mindset. If you want to be mekayim, fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended, which is to uplift the spirits of those that are downtrodden, your machshavos, your thoughts, have to be aligned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is a rachum and a chanun. You have to be excited to be emulating the midos of Hashem. And therefore, what does the Or HaChaim HaKadosh mean when he says that someone is giving beyond his means? It means that I have all the money in the world, but I'm excited to give all the money in the world. I want to give everything. And if all I had was a little money in the world, I still want to give all of the money. Meaning he's going beyond. In his mind, if he only had $5 to give, he would somehow try to get another $2 that would go beyond what he is comfortable giving. It's a mindset. So yes, did the Jews lack for anything in the Midbar? No. Could they have given everything? Was there ever a situation in practice of a person giving beyond what he was capable of doing? No. But when he was giving, he was wishful. He was hoping that it would be a struggle to give. But he would give anyways. Because Yiddishkeit, when we do mitzvos, it's a mindset, it's a machshava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bochein Levavos. He knows what we are thinking. He knows our machshava that is connected to this maisa. He understood by the Nesiim what was in the recesses of their soul. And therefore, it wasn't that they were simply allowing the community to be involved. No, it wasn't about that. It's that they were, because they knew they were lazy. And that is precisely why, a karbon is Doche Shabbos, because it's not a Maisa. It's a Machshava. Machshava isn't usher on Shabbos. And that's how we understand to go beyond one's means, when in the Midbar, nothing was beyond their means. But in Esau Libo, one whose heart inspired him, that person was hopeful and wishful that he would be able to struggle to give a little bit more. It's It's all about our thoughts. You know, I once had a Rebbe in yeshiva many, many years ago who said that, indeed, one would think, how could you make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning and then go to work all day and then pick up a sefer when you come home and not make another Birchas HaTorah? There's a hefsek, there's a pause. It's like when I make a drink and I talk, I have to make another bracha. He said it's a mindset. If even when you go to work, you're yearning, you're thinking about coming back to that sefer, it's as if you've been learning the entire day. Yes, practically you went to work, but your machshavos, your thoughts, were constantly in that sefer. What is our mindset? What are our thoughts? Even if we can't afford everything, we can't give all the stuff in the world, but we should want to. We should push ourselves. We should struggle to give more. And that goes for any aspect of Yiddishkeit. We should always yearn to give more, to do more, even if we're not capable. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bochein Levavos, He knows what our true thoughts are. Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zoche, that what our thoughts are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should enable to be in practice. We should want to give more tzedakah, which means we should make more money, which means we should give more tzedakah. We want to do more mitzvahs, but we don't have enough time, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because our thoughts are to do more Maisa Mitzvah, He's going to give us more opportunity to do more mitzvah and more time. And Mirtz Hashem, through our machshavos, we should be zoche to all the brachos that are ksubos b'Torah. Have a good Shabbos.